Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we examine the book of 1 Thessalonians and learn about turning the world upside down. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's conversation in the book of 1 Thessalonians, Turning the World Upside Down. Not even a commentary given by a godly person. That's the way the Thessalonian people, secular attitude. These people have changed. They've changed our whole society. And we understand that it's not people that change society, it's God. And the gospel can make a difference anywhere. We find that in Thessalonica. Hopefully we'll find that in our respective settings as well. The Apostle Paul's in Athens. He is there by himself. He sent Timothy back up. Hey, find out how these people are doing. I'm just concerned about them. I don't want the devil to get an upper hand through trials in their lives. Just encourage them. In the meantime, we didn't even talk about this yet, Hernan. By the way, thanks for joining us again.
I'm glad to be here.
And we didn't talk about this last time, but in the meantime, the Apostle Paul sent Timothy up to Thessalonica. He left Athens. The ministry ended there. He went to Corinth. And it was in Corinth that Timothy rejoined the Apostle Paul with the information about the Thessalonians. And it was from Corinth that the Apostle Paul actually wrote the letter that we're reading.
Right. Yeah.
So in verse 6 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, the Bible says, "But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings," we're going to come back, remind me to come back to that.
Sure.
"Good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, so we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord." These are just such encouraging verses. So the Apostle Paul said, we were on pins and needles. We sent Timothy, didn't really know what he was going to find, didn't know what he was going to say. But when he came back and he told us about your working faith and your laboring love and your patient hope and all that God was doing in and through you, it was such an encouragement.
Yeah, and it's almost as if the Apostle Paul, knowing the wiles of the devil, knowing how destructive he could be using troubles and trials in our lives, was almost like expecting the worst. And this was a giant sigh of relief and a giant just praise point for what actually transpired in from Timothy's report of just how well actually the believers in Thessalonica were doing.
And I know that to be true because of the word he chose. And I said, let's come back to that word. Yeah. He brought us good tidings. Every other time the Apostle Paul uses that term, it's a reference to the gospel itself. Mm-hmm. Because the gospel is good news, good tidings.
Right.
And in this case, it's the good news that you're doing well. So you just know that this word that was so special to the Apostle Paul, that he reserved it almost exclusively to talk about the good news of Jesus dying, being buried, and rising again, he now applies to you're okay, and your faith is okay. I see in this verse the heart of John, who said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." The Apostle Paul said, I mean, can you imagine your own children and them being in a dangerous place and I don't know what's going to happen, and then getting the news, they're okay. They're okay. Wow. That's the heart of the Apostle Paul.
Yeah, and you could almost picture the excitement that Paul had as far as this report. Again, they were in a pretty dangerous situation, really spiritually. And now he's hearing from Timothy this news that actually Paul those believers that you were really concerned about, they're doing really well. In fact, to the point that Paul says that they were comforted by that. They were encouraged.
By their faith. So remember, he sent Timothy concerning their faith, but then he adds that word. I'm comforted. I received the good tidings of your faith and charity. Mm. So faith, you know, that's our walk. That's our confidence in God. But what does a true walk with God produce? It produces charity. Charity is that agapao love of God, that love of God that sees others first, that lives for others. It's the mark of mature Christianity. So we saw in you a healthiness. I love that. But we saw more than just health. We saw thriving.
Right.
Because a thriving Christian life is one of charity.
Right. And charity is, when you look at that passage in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, he says, I'll teach you a better way. And then he talks about charity and describes that character in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. And you understand how highly God sees charity. And it really is. It's the fruit of mature believers. When charity is present in a person's life, you see that really it's correspondent to their maturity in the faith.
Yeah, I mean, great point. And it's the first evidence of someone who's truly walking with God. It's the first evidence, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and on and so on. But it's the first evidence of one that is yielded to, controlled by the Spirit of God. Mm. So he brought us this good news of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always. So, and I want to unpack this a little bit, my friends, because right here is such a great truth for us to understand. And that is, the Apostle Paul was intimating that one of our great fears was that in the satanic attack that inevitably follows our salvation, inevitably follows any spiritual victory, one of the things I feared was that there would be a separation of us, your disciplers, your teachers, your mentors, from you. And so when we heard the news that you have good remembrance of us, that you have a good attitude, a healthy spirit toward us, it really relieved us. Because one of the primary ways by which the devil will neutralize growth in Christ is to separate people from their spiritual mentors.
That's right, and I think that would have been part of Paul's concern. Perhaps could have been the believers there almost blaming him for now the persecutions they were facing. I mean, he was the one that was there that was instrumental in them being won to the Lord, but then also stirring up the enemies of the gospel. And so, in his heart, he was concerned that that would have been used by the devil to hinder their growth. And you also see the Apostle Paul's heart here is that he wanted to continue to be a voice in their lives and continue to invest in them. And you can't do that when there's a bit of a barrier between spiritual mentor and those whom he's discipling.
And we know when that happens, because the devil does that in subtle ways. So here in chapter 3 and verse 6, the verse we're centering in on right now, he says, you have good remembrance of us always. But then he gives the indication of that when he says, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. In other words, one of the reasons why I know the relationship is right is because we want to spend quality time together. And what I would say to you is, you can know that there's something wrong with your relationship with your spiritual mentors when you don't want to spend time with them. You don't want to see them. Sometimes when we're not living right, or we have something in our life, but I don't want to be around the pastor. I don't want to attend that that adult Bible fellowship. I don't want to be with that good, godly friend because I know that what he's going to do is he's going to ask me how I'm doing. He's going to delve into matters beyond superficiality. Right. And so I don't greatly desire to be with him. So I guess my question just applicationally to each one of us would be this: who are you avoiding?
That's good.
Who are you avoiding in your life? Because if you're avoiding somebody, and you could be honest with yourself, sometimes we avoid church or people or godly friends because we know that they have enough character to call us on the status of our faith and charity.
And isn't that so the opposite of what we need to do? You know, iron sharpens iron, and at times when we have that sense, there probably is something there that needs to be addressed in our lives. And the thing that we ought to do is to welcome in those godly influences in our lives rather than avoiding them and, you know, going on either not knowing or just not willing to know how what is the matter or what needs to be addressed.
Remember, my friends, it's the spiritual mentor. It's the person that is the spiritual mature that's going to initiate that. So the Apostle Paul initiated all of this to say, I want to know how you're doing. So don't put the onus of any spiritual relationship on the other person. The spiritual mature one is the one that's going to proactively reinsert himself or herself into that relationship. Verse 7, therefore, brethren, we were comforted. We were comforted. Remember, I sent Timothy to comfort you. I sent him to encourage you. But when he came back with the status report about how you're doing and how you're thriving, we were comforted over you, and we would say today because of you, in all our affliction and distress by your faith. So it's interesting. The Apostle Paul had some roadblocks. He had seen some great things happen at Thessalonica, some super things happen at Berea, but then he was in Athens, and the results there were negligible. Right. He almost kind of felt spiritually beat up, and then went to Corinth. And I'm going to tell you something, Corinth is a slap in the face, right? Because that place, it was the Las Vegas of the day. Sorry, Las Vegas friends, for that. But I mean, it was Sin City.
Right.
Sin City.
Right.
And showed up there. And I mean, it was difficult. And the Apostle Paul said, when we got the news about you, what a blessing it was to know the gospel is powerful. It's working. It's thriving in your lives. Wow, what a blessing.
Yeah. And it's like that cold water, you know, on a, when you're parched on a hot day, it's good news from a far country, isn't it? And what an encouragement to the Apostle Paul. And isn't it the case sometimes we go out to be a blessing to others and show our concern, but then because of their faith, because of what God's doing in their lives, they actually are the ones that come back and bless us. You know, I was talking with someone earlier about when we go on missions trips, and our intent is to go and establish people in the faith, encourage them, and then we see how they're living, and particularly in third world countries, and you see their faith, and you come back and you go, wow.
Yeah.
And they actually encourage you so much more than how you even intended to encourage them in the first place.
Yeah, you go to a third world to see poverty firsthand, and you do see poverty firsthand, but the poverty is the impoverishment of your own heart. You think that you're going to see poverty in their lives physically, and you do, but the poverty you really see is the poverty of your own heart. I love the pithy way by which the Apostle Paul summarizes this this whole thought when he says, for now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. What a great way to say it. Every parent understands this. Every grandparent, every godly pastor or Christian leader understands this. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. In other words, what gives us life? What gives us energy? What is the very purpose for which we breathe breath? Mm-hmm. It's when you are where you need to be with God. Mm. That's all we need. That's the breath I breathe. That's the air I breathe. That's the food I eat. That's the reason I live. And I know that that's the heart of your spiritual mentor. So you might be the one today that's waning a little bit, distancing yourself from people of God or that godly mentor. Could I just say, stop for a moment and consider that. Think through these verses. Maybe re-listen to this podcast. It'll help you. Maybe today you're that spiritual mentor and you need to get out that pen or that cell phone to send that text message, or maybe that FaceTime conversation, whatever the case may be. And let's reinsert ourselves in the lives of people. Why? Because people reaching people, people helping people, that's what the ministry is all about. God bless you, my friends. I appreciate you joining us again today, praying that you have a great day in the Lord.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.